Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Capturing the experience of war, it's always a challenge for journalists, for storytellers.
It's too broad. There's too much there.
Yeah, one time a journalist told me that, journalists fight to get to the center of the action when they're war correspondents. But what you eventually understand is that war is happening everywhere at once. At the end of the epic 3-hour movie, The Longest Day, one of the most famous movies about World War II, it's a heroic treatment of a war whose mission couldn't have been more clear, where the winners couldn't have been more on the side of the angels. The filmmakers sum up the whole experience of World War II in the voices of these two wounded, lost soldiers.
I haven't fired my gun all day. I keep hearing shooting, but every time I get there, everybody's gone.
It's funny, isn't it? He's dead. I'm crippled. You're lost. I suppose it's always like that. I mean, war.
I wonder who won.
If those kinds of questions were raised about World War II in that movie, consider the conflict in Afghanistan. As of tomorrow, it turns 8 years, and sometime next year it will become the longest war in U.S. history if we're still in Afghanistan. We want to know most how it's affected you.
This is Mark from Cape Cod. We're hosting a young man from Afghanistan, a high school student who's 16 this year and perhaps for the next 3 years of his high school education. And I'll tell you, his perspective on what we're doing over in Afghanistan is a lot different than what I'm hearing on the radio and reading in the paper. Seems like maybe Mr. Obama should be sending in more teachers and more instructors for police and military, and perhaps we should be paying those militias to turn our way instead of toward the Taliban.
Well, tell us your story. Has your family been serving? Have you been protesting? Where should we be this time next year in Afghanistan? All week long, we're covering the war in Afghanistan as it turns 8 years, the conflict of the U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Now, the conflict as seen through the eyes of one community whose sacrifices are quite literally difficult to fathom. The 4th Infantry Division's 4th Brigade is based out of Fort Carson, Colorado, near Colorado Springs. The combat unit lost 8 men, as we mentioned, on Saturday after an attack by insurgents in eastern Afghanistan. They all came from Fort Carson. In both Iraq and Afghanistan, the post has lost, listen to this, more than 270 soldiers. We're rejoined now by Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams, the highest-ranking enlisted man at Fort Carson. He served as the commander there for 5.5 years before retiring in 2007. Sergeant Major, 270 soldiers. I mean, it seems as though Fort Carson really makes the point that certain communities are paying for this war while other communities are mere spectators to what's going on in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Would you go along with that?
I wouldn't necessarily go along with that, but say that all communities that have a military installation in it are feeling the pain of the hardships of war.
And the hardships of war in the community of Colorado Springs is something that Tom Roeder covers every day. He's a military correspondent for the Gazette in Colorado Springs. This is a daily story for you in Colorado Springs, right, Tom?
It's one that's been repeated far too many times for this town. Watching the newspaper I work for has covered each one of these deaths that you mentioned as an individual story, where we look into the lives of these men who lost their lives, and women in some cases.
And, you know, I was looking online. There's so much video from Fort Carson, Colorado, of homecomings, joyous homecomings, but also each family posting their memorials of the individuals who have died. I mean, I was looking, and there was a memorial when there were only 46 names on that wall, then 57 names on that wall at Fort Carson, where they have the memorials of all the soldiers who have died. It's now up to, you know, it's up to 270, and they're going to add 8 more names. How do you cover that story without just making a ghoulish reiteration of the consequences of this war?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer for that at this point. But what we do is we tell the stories of the lives of these young people who've gone to war. In a lot of cases, you wind up saying why this kid went to war, what their motivation was. You also get to explain, especially in the case of the aged gentleman that died this weekend, how they died and the kind of fight they were in. And from what we're hearing, that was some pretty serious bravery that went on in that hill in Afghanistan.
Are the reasons people are joining up different now than they were, say, 8 years ago? And I understand that Fort Carson is just learning about Afghanistan now, that really for the longest time it was Iraq for you folks.
Absolutely. Well, early on, right after 2001, there was a patriotic swell in the country that really drove people to the colors, and it was almost like a World War II sort of scene where you had people signing up for patriotic reasons. The folks who are coming into the Army are doing it with their eyes wide open right now. They know that they will be sent to war in Iraq or Afghanistan. Their motivations vary from economic to patriotic, but they're there. That's a pretty amazing group of folks when you look at, you know, would you jump in right now knowing that you're going to face the risks these men want to do?
And apparently they do. And, of course, the trauma for this community isn't confined to the people who are directly serving. Here's a 23-year-old barista named Alexander who spoke with one of our producers yesterday about the impacts that he sees every day.
I don't know. A lot of the veterans I've met, I've known six. And out of the six, two have committed suicide. One, well, I don't really know how to explain him. He's on more pills than I've ever seen anybody on, even somebody in their late 90s with health issues.
Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams, can you relate to that story being told by someone that, you know, whether they survive or not, they're certainly coming back into the community with serious health and mental problems?
Well, you know, no one can really explain unless you've actually been there and experienced the traumas that war have on the effect of an individual. These are brave men and women that I have the highest respect for because, again, they volunteered. They volunteered during a time where they knew that we are at war. And I would tell you that not only the military, but the community as well is doing everything that they humanly can do with the resources that are available to provide the assistance that these troops desperately need.
Well, Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams, you are a director of military support for the El Palmar Foundation in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we're also talking with Tom Roeder, military reporter for the Gazette in Colorado Springs.
Sergeant Major, you know, you've complained in the past about the treatment of soldiers who come home with mental health issues, not only whether or not they're getting the treatment that they need, but how they're treated by their fellow soldiers. You said, I read once that you said you had to reprimand sometimes some soldiers over their treatment of those who come home maybe with PTSD or other issues. Has that improved?
Well, that story that you're kind of relating to, you know, wasn't actually what was said. When it comes to the reprimand, it was the reprimanding of some of the junior leaders and not really understanding what the soldiers were actually experiencing.
But are these soldiers who are coming home with mental health issues, are they being taken care of properly?
Yes. In my opinion, we are doing everything we can to properly identify and treat and take care and assist all these soldiers.
You know, I want to ask both of you before we go, Tom Roeder, military reporter for the Gazette in Colorado Springs, and Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams, what do you believe the mission is in Afghanistan as far as you can understand it? Tom Roeder?
That's a pretty deep question. The mission is for the military is clearly to go fight and win over there. The big question is what fighting and winning is going to entail. What we're going to see is a new strategy to try to accomplish that mission. The soldiers of the 4th Brigade Combat Team were being pulled out of these remote outposts where that fighting was over the weekend. They're going to be closer to the population in cities, and we're going to see if they can lock down security in those cities to begin to give that population some sense of security where they can start rebuilding their economy, and hopefully we'll have people turning away from the insurgency as that goes on.
Well, Tom Roeder, military reporter for the Gazette in Colorado Springs, I'm sure we're going to come back to you. Thanks so much for being with us. Retired Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams, highest-ranking enlisted man at Fort Carson from 2002 to 2007. What's your understanding of the mission in Afghanistan? Do you get it?
Well, Tom Roeder summed it up in his comments. But again, we are there to assist the people of Afghanistan, to help them, you know, help stabilize their country so they can be self-sufficient.
All right, well, we've been doing it for 8 years as of tomorrow. Thanks to both of you, Sergeant Major Terrence McWilliams and Tom Roeder, military reporter for the Gazette in Colorado Springs. 270 plus 8 casualties, fatalities from the 4th Brigade, 4th Infantry Division based at Fort Carson. Just a slice of the casualties in Afghanistan 8 years into this war. Thanks to both of you.